Good morning and welcome to Neocani View. I'm Peter Newman. We are coming to you this morning from the White Clover Grange. It's a lovely old building out on Highway 53 in North Tillamook County. If you hear some trucks and milk trucks and whatever roll by, that's the sound. And joining us today is Joel Karras and Annie Lohman, both of the Grange. Thank you for inviting me here. This is a gorgeous building. I love it.
It is, yeah. Thanks for having us.
Well, what's the history of the building?
This was a schoolhouse, and it was built in the early 20s. And it was a schoolhouse till 1931 when they went in with the hail. And it didn't become a Grange building until the Grange bought it for like $100 from the school district. And I really can't remember what year. That's why I was looking for the books.
Oh, right.
Exactly what year it was, but I think it was about 1936, but I'm not positive.
What? But there was a Grange in existence before
Yes,
so where was the original Grange?
The original Grange was founded in 1897, and it was held at the old Onion Peak School, which is now the Porter Place up the road. I don't know how far it is.
3 or 4 miles, maybe?
Yeah. And a schoolhouse. And one of our Grange members' grandparents was married in the Grange, which was a schoolhouse. And when I was searching the history, I found that out. But I have a history book someplace of the Grange that was missing, but it was dislocated here about a month ago. So,
well, speaking of history, for a lot of us, our memories of the Grange go back to a high school history or social science class. What about the Grange movement? Can you give us the thumbnail sketch of the Grange and its importance in American history in 1,000 words and spelling counts?
Well, I mean, it's a fraternal organization that has traditionally been farmers that have joined it, right?
Traditionally, it was organized to join the farmers from the North and the South right after the Civil War. That was the main purpose of the Grange. And they had representatives in Congress. And through the years, I remember when I first joined, the big fight was coloring margarine. It used to be white. And they used to really be active in the politics at one time for the farmers.
And I also recall making sure that the railroads and other organizations didn't run rampant over the farmers.
Yep. And I know they also did a lot around the rural mail delivery campaign. I believe they played a pretty big role in getting universal rural mail delivery. And I know Travis Williams is doing some research for us in the history of our Grange and the Grange in general. And I believe he sent out some information about the role of the Grange in the women's suffrage movement as well, because women were always members of the Grange, always allowed to be members of the Grange, unlike a lot of fraternal organizations.
Yeah, well, on a farm, you can't afford to lose 50% of your workforce.
No, you definitely cannot.
Well, what about the Grange today? Why does it exist?
Why does the Grange exist? Well, we're a community organization. We host monthly potlucks, so there's a social aspect. That our monthly potlucks, a lot of our members show up, obviously, but they're open to the public. We've hosted dances. Right now we're doing, the Grange is partnering with Food Roots and doing seed to supper gardening classes here. They're sponsoring that and allowing usage of the building for those classes. So, we offer services to nonprofits and, kind of a mix of benefiting the community and providing public outreach.
It's in our bylaws that any youth group, like the 4-H, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, can use our building free. They don't have to pay. We do rent the building a lot, but we have to keep up the building. In fact, we're putting a new roof on. It's about $16,000.
Yeah.
And we finally got that money raised, so we'll be putting a new roof on this summer.
Yeah, I imagine it's not a young building. It probably does take some upkeep.
Definitely. And there's still some more we need to do, but the roof is a big project, and we're excited to be getting that done soon.
Yeah, the main hall used to be painted the same color, blue-green, but we painted it here probably 20 years ago, and it hasn't been painted inside since.
Right.
Pretty nice piece of property, too. It extends, what, it's about an acre or so?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, yeah, it's
now
a pretty good size.
The property was donated to us by the Tubasing family. The daughter married a Hunt, and they've been gone for years. And the property was donated to the school, and then we got the property from the school district. And it took us, they paid it off $10 a month, I think.
Wow.
And so the date, I think it was paid for in 1936, but I'm not too sure.
Okay. Annie, you are a walking encyclopedia. How long have you been with the Grange?
Well, I joined in 1951, so that's 64 years. So.
Why did you join?
Well, we all did. Those days, we didn't have television. You know? And it was, when I joined, there was 187 members, I think.
Wow.
In fact, one of our officers is called the lady assistant, the steward, the lady assistant steward, where they march you around, and she just passed away last month. The one that was the officer when I joined, and we used to do the ritual that they have, but now sometimes we're lucky they even have a gavel. They come to order.
We've gotten a little more informal in our meetings, haven't we?
Yeah, more informal because it's
right.
But you know, when Vivi went to the State Grange, she was really impressed with the ritual.
I wouldn't mind bringing some of the ritual piece back.
What kind of ritual?
There are a good patron places faith in God, nourishes hope, dispenses charity, and is noted for fidelity.
You've said that a few times, I'm guessing, in your life. Yeah.
They have these signs that they go through.
And when we're voting, we're supposed to put our hand up with the back facing outwards.
A good patron places faith in God, nourishes hope, dispenses charity, and is noted for that fidelity. Huh. That was part of our ritual. And it was always at the beginning, at the end. Mm-hmm. And we had one master that had a horrible time remembering it. But, I mean, I've blogged for 64 years, and there's a lot of the ritual that I remember by heart, from hearing it so often.
Well, looking out the window, and it's over my shoulder, I can imagine that the Nehalem Valley and area around the Nehalem River, to some extent, it looks the same, but back in the day, there were independent creameries, and it looks similar, but I imagine it's a different farm scene.
Well, it's with me, the end of that McKibbins Road is used to be the Loban Farm. And now it belongs to Myers, but that was the Loban Farm, and it was purchased in the Loban family in 1950. From the McKibbins family, and so it's changed a lot. Now it's completely cleared. There used to be a few trees and stumps around, but
how many creameries were right around here?
Well, there was Aldervale,
right?
And there was also the Moeller Creamery, and my uncle was a cheesemaker at Moeller Cheese Factory for years, probably in the early 20s up until probably the war started. And then my dad was a cheesemaker up at Alderville, and that is up on the North Fork Road. And I married a cheesemaker who was national champion cheesemaker in 1955.
My.
And but my uncle, my dad, my brother-in-law and my husband were all cheesemakers for Chilliwack County. So,
how about you? Did you make cheese?
Yes, during the war when the guys went, I worked in the cheese factory. As soon as I was 16, I got my Social Security and I worked in the cheese factory because all the young guys and everybody was at the war. And so first my sister came and helped my dad at the cheese factory at Aldervale. And then she had to go back to Nacelle where she lived. She lived with us for a while. Then when she left, then I took over. I was just six, as soon as I was 16, then I helped my dad in the cheese factory. In fact, I used to really have muscles. We used to, our cheese used to be in 5-pound loaves. This is getting away from the grains, but you can edit it out.
I'm not going to. I love this stuff.
We used to. It used to be all, mostly in 5-pound loaves and 25-pound rounds, and I used to have to take those 25-pound rounds and throw them up on a shelf about a couple of feet over my head.
See, now aerobic studios actually charge you for that kind of exercise.
I guess they would, but it really gave me muscles in my arm.
Our guests this morning on the Econi View, Joel Karras and Annie Lohman. We are coming to you from the White Clover Grange, number 784. That's the Grange designation nationally. And it's out on the Highway 53 in the north part of Tillamook County. Joel, I recall from an earlier interview that we did some months back, you're relatively new to the area. So also, let's say relatively fairly young. Aging all the time, I'm sure.
Well, yes.
As we all are, hopefully. What brought you to getting involved in the Grange?
Well, I moved out to this area about 4 years ago, and I came out here to farm at a vegetable farm a few miles up the road, Revolution Gardens. I stayed on working for local farms doing the raised animals, beef and lamb, and now work for Food Roots, a nonprofit in Tillamook. But about, gosh, two years ago, maybe, I joined the Grange?
Three.
Yeah.
He used to come to our potlucks first.
Yeah. And then
you're in it for the food.
Well, of course. It all starts with the food, at least for me. So I started coming, and I was becoming more interested in these community organizations, fraternal organizations, the role that they had played in the past in our society. That's changed a lot, and they're not as dominant now, but it was a place where you could benefit the community, where people learned about working together and learned about democratic processes and making decisions in a group setting. And I liked the social aspect, and I liked the potential that it had to benefit the community. And so I joined, and I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Had a lot of fun.
He's a real sweetheart, by the
way. And Annie, I think once I made caramel corn with Annie, I wasn't going to be allowed to leave at that point. She liked my caramel corn making, so.
Well, who are some of the, is there a typical Grange member? Describe some of the people who are a member of this organization.
Well, a lot of, you know, I guess I'm the youngest Grange member right now here, am I?
Yes.
I guess. I am. There's a few other younger ones, but a lot of them are a little bit older. More women these days. A lot of gardeners, I would say.
A lot of the members, see, I was a school secretary for 30 years, and so I didn't come to Grange. I started, and when my children were 10 years old, I went back to work. I worked at the school. I was a school secretary for 30 years. So I only really came I held office in my younger years, say from 20 to 30. And then I worked at school, and so didn't come to Grange on Wednesday nights. Like, I never used to miss every 2 weeks we had a meeting the first and third Wednesday.
Hope you didn't miss any potlucks.
No, but we did. We always had our meeting. Say start at 8 o'clock, then after our meeting we would have maybe coffee or sandwiches or something, just a little midnight snack, because they were farmers and we couldn't really start too early.
Uh-huh. But you're also getting up early.
Huh?
You're getting
yes,
up early, yes.
And we're getting up early, yes.
Yeah.
And
when would the meeting start? After evening milking?
Yes.
So what time was that usually?
Well, we started right, I can't remember, 7 o'clock or 8 o'clock, but
okay.
I know that we would have our meeting, and then it would never last over an hour. And then we would go downstairs and just have, maybe just hot chocolate and donuts, or, you know, just have a small snack before we went home. that was, like I say, before television. And our Christmas, we used to have big Christmas parties, and the kids, Santa would come, and all. That was a night that we could bring our kids and didn't have to have a babysitter.
So this is a real focal point for the social part of the community.
Yes, yes. We, like I say, there was 187 members when I first joined. And that, hey, what's the population in Halem? 200? You know, I mean, just about it, everyone in the community joined. Right. I mean, belonged to the Grange. Mm-hmm. And not only for the farmers, but of course, look at how many farmers there used to be, too. I mean, there used to be, even like Little Alderville Cheese Factory up there, we had probably over 35 patrons, and they came as far as Hamlet. And then the rest, Bowler had probably 55 or 60 patrons. And some of them only had they only brought a can of milk, you know, instead of 10, 12 cans of milk, like some of the bigger farmers. But it was a bunch of little barns, little farms.
This is Neocony View, and we're coming to you from the White Clover Grange with Joel Karras and Annie Lohman. And as you're describing this, well, we should say it's White Clover Grange number 784, which means, I take it, there are at least 783 other granges around, probably some more or less active than others.
Okay, may I interrupt a minute? We were number 267 Granges at that time, back in 1897 when we first organized. Then when World War I came, all the guys went in the army, and it kind of disbanded. And then they didn't start up again until after the war. And when we started up again, we were 784. So there was 500 Granges that... in between our first time we joined the Oregon Grange, or I don't know if it's Oregon or if it's a nation.
That's what I'm wondering too. That'd be a lot for just Oregon. But there used to be 12 in Tillamook County?
Oh yeah, used to be. There was a Grange in Garibaldi. There was a Maple Leaf Grange, and there was a Kilch's Grange. There was a South Prairie Grange. There was a Lone Prairie Grange. There was just a Grange every... of course, up north from Tillamook, there was only the Miami Cove Grange at Garibaldi and our White Clover. And then, but all the around Tillamook, there was a Grange every 2 or 3 miles.
So sadly, they're disappearing.
Oh yeah, there's only three left.
Yeah,
in the whole county.
And the Fairview Grange just restarted a few years ago.
Yeah,
which is good that it restarted. But yeah, there had been. We were one of only two that kind of kept going during downturn.
Sand Lake is still a Grange in South County. And then in South County, Oretown, there was Oretown and Pleasant Valley and Nestucca. There was lots of Granges south also. Yeah.
So the national or the Oregon organization that oversees Grange activities, what the rules, regulations, do you all get together? How does that all work as an organization?
Is there a national? There's a national organization. And in fact, the master of the National Grange is from Forest Grove. And he's been here before. He's the one that raised our dues from $3 to $10 and the $15. And now it's up to what, 45?
45, yeah.
Oh, that's something you'd remember.
Yeah.
But hey, if I had my history here, I don't know, 1 year, my niece and I, we went and dug up the history of the Grange. And so many of the things were really old and falling apart. You know how the little paper mites get in things and eat them up, I guess. And I saved some of the bills that, like a pound of coffee or 3 pounds of coffee would be 25 cents. I mean, back, it was unreal. The prices, a loaf of bread, $5, you know, I mean, five cents.
Now it's $5.
Yeah, $5, right. And I put that all in the book, all those that I could save.
Wonderful.
And, but That was back in the 20s.
Yeah.
Well, I would think with the rise of factory farming, you know, those big corporations are not joining granges, and I'm not sure you want them to, actually.
No, I don't think they are too much. It is interesting. It was definitely an advocacy organization for rural people and that tend to be farmers and people involved in agriculture, and that's...
Well, I think now it's just people that are interested in like growing your own food, mm-hmm. you know, and...
Yeah, like I said, we have a lot of gardeners. We have a lot of people who do a lot of preserving and canning. Yeah.
In a way, the mission has changed a bit, I gather, from, you know, that you don't have... It's not so much advocacy as trying to... empower people and help people make good food choices.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit more of a... There's not as much focus on policy, although some of that happens at the state and national level, but it's more, I think, these days, more as a community organization. And, you know, I think there's been some questions at time within our Grange, and I'm sure with a lot of others, about what is the role of the Grange at this point, you know, because things have changed so much. Aside from our, you know, our monthly meetings and gatherings. But there's a, you know, there's the Green Grange movement going on where there's, which I wouldn't say we're as much involved in, but there's some interest among some of our members, but certainly in, if you get into the Willamette Valley and some of the areas where there's a lot of new young people joining the Grange, and they're kind of working on creating more of a sustainability and small farm focus around their activities. I think it's a organization in transition.
Yeah, well, Joel, we talked to you a few months ago, your role at Food Roots. Imagine there's some overlap there.
Yeah, there is. There definitely is. So Food Roots actually was involved a lot, and people from Food Roots, including Shelley Bowe, our founder, who's retired now, were very involved in getting the Fairview Grange back up and running. And we've partnered with Granges. Food Roots and the Grange did a joint fundraising event in January here, the pie auction, Pie Day, that was really successful, and that raised money for both organizations. So there's definitely some overlap. We have a number of people who are with Food Roots are Grange members, and we think at Food Roots that the Granges are a really important community asset, and we want to kind of keep them going and keep them playing a role in the community and find ways to partner with them. So,
and one thing we can give you a plug for is, as you mentioned at the beginning, this building is available for rent. So if somebody wants to have a meeting or something in a very charming old schoolhouse building, this would be the place to, and you can't miss the cow outside.
That's right.
Where did that cow come from, by the way?
Pardon?
Where did the cow come from?
That cow was, that poor cow, he's been around. He was first at Neocony High School, and people kind of frowned. It was painted, and you really couldn't tell it was a cow.
It was kind of painted like the earth or something like that, yeah.
So then they moved it, you know, where the caboose is in Rockaway. It got moved to that spot. And people Rockaway complained about it, and so we decided we would take the cow and we painted it like a Holstein, so you at least kind of know that it's a cow.
Yeah.
And they have one in Cloverdale, and they have one in Tillabook, and it was some art project of something that the government
did. They make it out of material from the digester. Is that right?
I don't know. I just know that poor cow finally has a home here.
That's right. And I believe we recently named him or her Quirky, the cow.
Oh, is that?
I think that was Vivi's idea, and I think it might be sticking. And it's definitely a good marker to tell people that they're looking for.
Right. If you're looking for the White Clover Grange, just drive on Highway 53, stop at the cow.
That's right.
By the way, if folks want to just take a look at the building, can you make arrangements to come and buy and, you know, get a little 5-cent tour?
We could probably
Or better
do
than that.
They
could come to our potluck.
That's right.
On the first and third...
No, just the first Wednesday right now.
Oh, that's right,
yeah.
For the summer.
First Wednesday at 6:30 p.m., we have a public potluck. It's open to anybody who wants to come join. And you can see the building and see the grounds and hang out with some people and eat some good food. And then we have our meeting follows at 7:30, which people can it's open to the public if people want to stay, but they can also take off and go home. Yeah. Yeah, that's probably the easiest, most straightforward way.
What are some of the items people bring to the potluck, by the way?
Oh, what do we you know, we've been having a pretty good balance lately.
Yes.
Sometimes,
we'll have is casseroles, and sometimes all we have is desserts, but...
Which, that's not so bad.
Yeah, it's been pretty well balanced.
Yeah, I'm a regular one of mine is cornbread. I love cornbread, and I actually grew flour corn out here just down the road last year successfully, and so I've been bringing some occasionally cornbread from homegrown, hand-ground corn flour. We get a lot of casserole, soups, stews.
Yeah.
There's usually some dessert of some kind or another. People don't usually get
salads.
We always have salads. We usually got some good salads too. So,
Annie, what's your specialty?
Well, people like my rice spinach casserole, but sometimes I'm kind of busy and I don't get it.
Or sometimes you're watching the playoffs. You're watching the Blazers in the playoffs.
Yes, the Blazer game on and I can stay home. I really watch you when you talk because I'm deaf. I don't know if you realize that. And I read lips. And so I don't get much of the meeting anymore because they wear mustaches, and when they got on mustaches, every one of the men had mustaches, and that's why I just gave up the treasure because I couldn't hear them, and some of them got kind of hostile when I wasn't paying any attention, but I wasn't paying attention, I just couldn't read their lips, and I didn't know what they were saying. And
so now we're supposed to shave before the meeting. At least trim up a little bit, right?
No. Well,
I think you are both remarkable people, and I really appreciate you taking the time to do this. And go online, just do a search on White Clover Grange. Easiest way to find information on the building. And it's a great resource, and it's a great piece of history that you guys are keeping alive.
It's too bad we can't do more service, like get scholarships and stuff, but it's really... hard for us to be raising money all the time because we've got to keep the building up.
Right, right.
And that's, you
Where
know...
A lot of our efforts go.
But, you know, like the Grange, they give scholarships. I mean, the State Grange does. And we used to always have a representative for the Dairy Princess of the county, Tillamook County, June Dairy Parade and things like that. But we just kind of fell away from that. Of course, like I say, television really is, it has been our biggest problem.
Kill your television then.
That's right. Kill your television, join the Grange.
Joel Karras and Addie Lohman of the White Clover Grange. Wow, this has been so much fun, and thanks for the history and the description of this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful building. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see you next month on Neocotti View. I'm Peter Newman. Have a great day.